In connection with our exhortation this morning, we've been asked to consider the reading of Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud have risen against me, and the assembly of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. Our brother to exhort us this morning is Brother Chapman Freeze from Louisville, and his subject is Walking Together in This Age of Things. I ask your attention to Brother Chapman.
Good morning. It seems to be the custom of each succeeding speaker to say, well, we are happy to be here. We're enjoying the Bible school. That goes for my sister wife and all the Louisville Ecclesia, all five of us. We're all here. And we're all enjoying the Bible school. My remarks this morning are going to be mostly confined to the 11th verse of this chapter. Our brother read, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Now, in the theme of our Bible school, we find here in the 55th of the Psalms, I believe it is, 55th Psalms, and on about the last verse, and it reads something like this. Where is that verse?
I have it here in it.
Somebody must have been walking with David, because he says, we took counsel together. We took counsel together. Now this is to say we had mutual exchange of ideas based on what we have learned from the scriptures. Now David and his contemporaries had the law and the prophets. That was their scripture. And this 86:11, and also in Ephesians 4 and 1, we have some other language that seems to me teach us the same lesson. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy. That ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Ours is the highest and the most worthy vocation anyone can aspire to. And in the 14th chapter, rather, of the Hosea and the 9th verse, he says, and I quote, "Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right and just, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein." In Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 6th verse, we have some more of the same language. Let's turn and read. Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 4th verse. No, that's wrong. I'll find it, though. It's the 16th verse. "This I say, then," this is the Apostle Paul now writing to the church in Galatia, "this I say, then, is the way. Walk ye in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I'm going to come to that in the latter part of my message this morning. Now, we have some other instructions on the same subject, and there's no better advice and counsel than we find from the words of the Master himself. And this is what he says: "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Therefore, said he, enter ye in at straight gate." The word "straight" here is a peculiar word. Now, we think of anything being straight as the nearest point between two, nearest distance, or the straightest distance between two points. Straight lines from this post over here to this pillar would be perfectly straight. This is not, we're not talking about S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, straight. This is S-T-R-A-I-T. And you know, the Master himself says, "How am I straightened till these things be accomplished?" The certain things that he went up to Jerusalem for. And you remember how Brother Dunaway used to say, he set his face in flint. He made up his mind. He determined to face it. Straight is the way, and narrow is the gate. This indicates to me, and I found this in the big college dictionary, this word "straight." This word "straight" is not what we might assume, but something more rugged, something difficult, something strict, rigid, something to try our faith. That's the kind of straight way that we face. That is the kind of straight way in which we should walk. Why do we look to the Scriptures? Why do we look to the Scriptures for this advice? And why do we take sweet counsel in such matters? Prophet Jeremiah tells us in the 30th chapter in verses 23 and 24, I believe. And guess what he says? "O Lord, correct me. O Lord, correct me. But with judgment. But with judgment." Return the second epistle of John for the same thought, and it's just a little bit different, but we're talking about the same thing. And guess what he says? "This is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For this is the love of God, that ye keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Well, I'm sure that sometimes we have felt, every one of us, that sometimes our walk is a little bit grievous. But the Master didn't make it that way. We did. He said, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." If there's any contradiction of terms here, it's on our part, not on the Master. This is the way. Walk ye in. In the Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." I won't read both of them. I'm going to read the little angel. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He will direct thy way. We tend sometimes to think that, I know what I'm doing. I know the direction I'm going, and I know how to do it. And that's the worst attitude we could take. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our ways. Now I want to turn our thoughts just for a couple of minutes to this last of Brother Morgan's reading. He said my topic was walking together in this age of things. Now he should have emphasized the things. I read an article in the papers not long ago, and I've heard some of it and seen just a little bit up on the radio. I mean on our television. This is the age of things. A brother told me not long ago, and he's in this room, that we can get anything and everything for which we can find a down payment. We surround ourselves with things. Now this is to say to you farmers that you don't need a combine or a tractor. They're things that you have to operate your business. Now, you people who are businessmen, not to say that you shouldn't get a new adding machine, a computer, any of those things are necessary to run your business. Well, I'm talking about things now. Listen, you can go into some people's home and you can just find a multiplicity of things, from a can opener to a grand piano. They just got, not only have one or two, but they have the house stocked with them. Things. Why do I say this? Well, to me, it complicates my life. The few things that I have put up with, as simple as makes it. Maybe because I'm reached this 70 business. When you get this old, you don't want to have too much to bother with. Time's getting faster and I'm getting slower. The youngsters back there begin, they smile and they just chuckle a little bit. You don't know what it is. You don't know. You surround yourself with all these things now. You think you have to have them. 20 years from now, they're going to be in your way. They'll hinder you. But that's not the point. That's beside the point. Let's just drop the humor just for a minute. The point I want to bring, they will hinder us and they take our attention away from the truth. The Apostle Paul said, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I find brothers and sisters that I'm still studying. He didn't say we would ever graduate. He didn't say there would be a time when we'd studied enough. But sometimes I think now that I'm more ignorant than I was when I came into truth. And then I thought I knew something. Now I know I don't. So I don't want to surround myself with any more things. I've got one car, I don't need a boat. I don't need a boat, and I don't need another car. And I don't need any more things in my house. Because, you know, the missus makes me help clean up sometimes. Now I can prove that, and we have no better authority than the Master himself. And let me read you something. I wouldn't say a thing here this morning to you. I wouldn't burden you with any words out of my mouth that I couldn't prove with this word. You know what the prophet said? If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. That means we haven't been enlightened spiritually. Listen to what I'm going to read to you. In the Luke 20, is it the 12th chapter? I believe. I may be wrong on this one. But anyway, I'll find it. I will find it in a minute. Give me a minute. Yes. It's in the 15th verse of the 12th chapter of Luke. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Now, I want to look at this word covetousness for a minute. This is another one of those peculiar words. Now, covetousness, it has a double meaning to me, and I think I find some of it from my scripture. According to the big college dictionary, it is to desire greatly, strongly, with the intent to have, someday. This also, says the big dictionary, it also indicates to be greedy. Now, there's another reason, there's another translation of that word, and we find it in the 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians, along about the last of it. Let's see if I can find it. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, you know, this chapter precedes the love chapter, and let's see how it reads. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, you know, he's going to tell us here something, and he's already been telling us a real good message. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you unto you a more excellent way. Now, the more excellent way was the way of love. In the 13th chapter, you know, is the love chapter. But he said, now, covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, I find also that this word covet, just now, I'm finding this by comparing scripture with scripture, and to us, it means to wish for with eagerness. To wish for with eagerness. Usually used in the sense of fault, but not always. And then Micah 2 and 2, we found the same thought. I sometimes have trouble finding this verse. Maybe I can this morning. Micah, the second chapter, and the second verse, if I can find it. And they covet the youth and take them by violence. That gets back to covet with greediness. But the that 12th chapter and 31, and the 1 Corinthians, he says, covet the best gift. And he says, I will show you a more excellent way. Now, to this sense, it means to wish for, or hope for, or strive for, or to work for, to aspire to with eagerness. Get a little excited about it. Be good for you. Let me show you some other things that we can have. Things. I just lifted this out of some newspaper stuff, I believe a magazine. And this fellow says that we can have everything, just showing what we're down. This is a little bit ridiculous, but your neighbor's got it. Neighbor down the street, and I should show you just how he got it. He's got two cars and one boat. And this thing says, everything you can imagine, from pocket-sized radios to bugging devices no bigger than the latest small watch, private airplanes, boats, cars, mini cars, big cars, little cars, everything, houses, furnishings, gadgets to fill them. You may well ask, what's wrong with this? It's legal. We can have them. I said in a minute, a few moments ago, we can have everything that we can get a down payment for, and you can get a down payment. You know, the credit companies in Louisville, they're not too particular, as long as they can get you down payment and get you on the hook. But we turn again. The master says that a man's life consists not in the things which he possesses. Because he says, for all these things, do the world, or the people of the world, seek after. Now, you may think I'm being a little bit ridiculous, but I'm not. We are human beings. We Christian devils are only human beings. I was just talking to a man this morning. He said, we don't look like anybody else. We don't. The only thing the difference in us and the world is we were striving for different things. We are walking the way that I'm trying to point out here in my message this morning. The Lord Jesus knew, and I believe he was right, the Lord Jesus knew that the seeking after and the having of too much of the world's goods just simply wasn't good for us. We seek after the wrong thing. And by seeking after the wrong thing and having the wrong thing, it turns our attention and our efforts away from the truth. I don't know how you feel about it, but I just don't want to be cluttered up too much. Now let's get to work back to this word walk. I discovered this thought after I had my wife type my stuff this morning, a week ago. And this word in company, it says back here, you know, in the reading, it said we walk in company. And the word company in here reads in concord. We walk in concord. And this, I find, means to walk in agreement with, in union of the same mind together, in harmony, friendly, and peaceful. Now, I copied this thought from something, and here's what it says, and it pertains to what I'm talking about this morning. Life is too short. Life is too short to wear ourselves out with things pertaining to the flesh. Now, another thing is, if Christ is the way, then why waste time traveling some other way? Let me just show you a good little illustration about this. Now, I'm familiar with all this country and this road. Coming down here the other morning, that afternoon, I got lost twice. I was traveling the wrong direction, wasting time, wasting gasoline. That's all I was doing. The scenery, there's a hilly road, the scenery was beautiful, but we weren't getting anywhere. There's another one, and all this stuff we're talking about, and all these things. And this we hear over the radio. And this is what the fellow says. He's real witty. He's got a lot of sense, too. He says, do we possess our property, or does it possess us? That's a good question. Now, one more thought. Duty makes us do things well, but love makes us do them beautifully.